Tonight's cheer brought to you by the Weinblatt family once again. Parshas Lech Lecha. After Avram Avinu had his troubles in Mitzrayim, dealt with them, came out a rich man, left Mitzrayim, and on the way he has a little problem with his shepherds and his nephew's shepherds, Lot, got into an argument. So Avram felt the only way to solve the problem is to separate. They have to go each their own way. So Avram says to Lot, the nephew, here, you choose wherever you want to go. You choose that way, I'll go the other way. So the pasuk says, V'yisa Lot enav, he lifts up his eyes, V'yaris kol kikar yarden ki chulo mashke. Lifnei shacheis Hashem estom es amora gegan Hashem keretz Mitzrayim buachatzoa. So what did Lot? Where did he have his eyes on? Stom. It was a place that was very, very fertile, and he had his eyes on Stom, even though it was probably the most corrupt place on earth. But that's where Lot wanted to go. Why? Because that's where the money is. Money's in Stom. He wanted to go for the money. Agav, interesting idea from the Taz, says later, a couple of psukim later, v'yivchar lo lot, at kol kikar yarden, like we said. And it says, v'yisa lot mikedem. And then, Lot traveled mikedem. Kedem means east. He traveled from the east. So Rashi says, yeah, nasa me'etzel Avraham, he traveled from Avraham. V'halach lo nemaravo shel Avraham. He went from the east, meaning he left Avram and he went towards the west. Nimsa noseya mi mizrach lamarav. As it says, from the west means he traveled from the west to the, from the east to the west. Mikedem, from the east, traveled from the east to the west. So the Taz says, I don't understand. Just think of let's imagine the map of Israel for a minute. Okay, if this was Israel. Okay, where was Avram at this point? In Bethel. Where is Bethel? It's just north of Yerushalayim, okay? So if Yerushalayim is over here, and Bethel is just north of Yerushalayim, okay? And Lot had his eyes on where? Stom. That's where he wants to go. Where's Stom? The Dead Sea. So where's the Dead Sea? Down here. So at the eastern border. So if Lot is traveling from Avram and he's going to Stom, which direction should he be traveling? He should be traveling east, okay? However, what does it say in the pasuk? That Lot traveled, and Rashi says, from the east to the west. How could he, why west? He has to be going east. Where is the Dead Sea? Southeast. So what's pshat? That Rashi says that Lot was traveling towards the west. Doesn't make sense. So says the Taz, an interesting kiddush. He says that, Einachanami, Lot wanted to travel, you know, down to Sodom. But he was embarrassed to tell Avram that. He was embarrassed that why? Because it's the corrupt place on earth. So what is he going to tell Avram? Yeah, Avram, I want to go to this corrupt place, you know, and have a good time. He was embarrassed. So therefore, what did he say? He didn't tell him he's going to Sodom. Instead, he said, I'm going to Bnei Brak, say, you know, out west for a little bit of chizik, you know, maybe a Baal Tshuva yeshiva, Shabbaton, you know, I'm going to go out to Bnei Brak, out west. So Avram says, oh, wonderful, you know, I'm going for some chizik out west, I'm happy to hear that, you know. And so what happened? They left, he said, see you later. He goes a little, you know, towards the west, Kilu, as the pasuk says, Mikedem, where he went from the east to the west. But as soon as he saw Avram was out of eye shot, he says, okay, let's go. You turn root and back down south, east to Sodom, where he really wanted to be. And Agav, we can explain from this, I saw from Levinstein, he says, we can answer another problem, and that is, later on, we have there was a war between the four kings and the five kings, and then Lot was taken captive, and then it says, V'yavoa palit, a famous Chazal, Rashi says, it was Og, Melech HaBashan, he came to tell Avram that Lot was captured. So he says, a little bit difficult, and why did Avram need to be told this? Look, Lord, the war between the four and the five kings, not a little, you know, in the backyard war over here. This was a four kings, it was like a world war, okay? It was a huge, So how could Avram not have heard what was going on? He didn't hear about a world war. Well, you know, and that his nephew was among, you know, right in the thick of things. How could he have not heard that? Somebody had to come and tell him, oh, you know, your nephew was in the... How could he have not heard such a thing? But according to what we're saying now, it was very good. Why? Because Avram didn't know that Lot was there. He thought he was in Bnei Brak by the Baal Shuva Yeshiva. Okay, he had no idea that he was down south in Sdom. So Mela, of course he heard about the war, but he didn't know that there was no Geya. He didn't know that Lot was there, Bakla. Mela, he had to be told. It's interesting, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zatzal, he's actually on the next week's Parsha, but he points out that, again, why did Lot go to Sdom? For the money, he said. Kulo Mashke. Wow, a fertile land like this, and I'm going. The money's in Sdom. That's why he went there. Yeah, what do we see in the end? The Hashem is going to destroy Sdom. The angels came to take out Lot. And it says, they wanted them to leave. The Pasuk says, Vayisma ma, v'yachaziku anashim b'yado, v'yad ishto, v'yad shevenotam, v'chemes Hashem alav, yotziyu v'yachu mechutzeyeh. It was Vayisma Mami. He tarried. He didn't want to go. And not only that, we have a shalshelet, not a very common note in the Torah. It was found on the word Vayisma Ma. Vayisma Ma. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, well, what is significant having shalshelet on a word? It's to show that whatever this word represented, it was gone too far. You know, like a shalshelet, over and over and over again. It was taken too far. So Lot was tarrying too much. Okay, you're tarrying a little bit, but too much. Why did he tarry, says Rashi? Vismama kedei latzil et mamono. He made all this money. He went down for the money. He made all his money. He didn't want to leave. I don't leave my money behind. All that money I made, I got to leave it? Vismama. He didn't want to go. He's tarried. I'm not going until they drag him out. So here we see, here we have a guy, Lot. He went for the money, and what did he come out with? The famous saying of the Ramban that Hagzera Emes v'Hacharitzus Shekin. That when Hashem goes there, that's what's going to be. You can want this and want that, whatever you want. But Charitzus Shekin, all the effort, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go, I'm going to make, I'm going to be the richest man in the world. But all that is Sheker. What's the Emes? Only one Emes. Gzeras Emes. What Hashem wants, that's the Emes. You could want whatever you want. As the famous Yiddish thing goes, right, man trach v'gadlach. Right, man trach. Oh, he goes. I'm gonna do. But Hashem is up in Shemayim laughing. Says, you think you're going? You're gonna get money? You're not gonna have anything. You can want all you want. Kodesh Baruch Hu, he's in control. It's a story about the Gra. This was a story that was found by a man. His name is Yerushalayim. He's a Judaica dealer. He was into Judaica, and he found in an old sefer this story written inside the inner binding, and it was signed from the Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhin, who heard it from the mouth of Rav Chaim Volozhin, who heard it from the mouth of the Gra, who this story happened to. That's what it said in the introduction. Okay, it was from Talmud to the Rav Chaim towards the Gra, who this Maisa happened to. So what's the story? The Gra used to go out, as many of the Gedolim did in early generations, used to go out in Galus. What does that mean, Galus? So the Gedolim, they knew that the Gashmias very often is a stira to the Ruchnias. And if you want your Ruchnias to grow, you have to break the goof. You know, so they would go out, and not in their obviously rabbinic clothing, dressed like a pauper, and go from town to town acting as a poor man and taking all the bizyonis, all the embarrassments, etc., that a poor man goes through and gets knocked around. And they did it because they wanted to, you know, get the, you know, there should be a kapara, it should be break the goof, and so that it can increase their ruchnias. It's interesting, they actually said there's a shtickle makor for this in the beginning of the parsha, right? It says that by Avraham Avinu lech lecha, the Rashi says, when you're traveling on the way, very hard on the person, and it breaks, it destroys the pure yirivia and shame and mammon, you lose money, you lose your shame. it breaks the person. So that's what Galus is all about. Interesting, Agav, they asked of Aaron Lev Steinman, Shlita, they asked him, how come nowadays the Gedolim don't go out in Galus? We don't find it nowadays. We read stories, you know, in the day, but how come nowadays they don't do that anymore? He said, why don't the Gedolim go out in the Galus? So Aaron Lev said, reason is because nowadays they don't have to go out to Galus. All the Bizyonis come to them in their house. They come to them. They have enough Bizyonis where they are. They don't have to go out and find, looking for it. I just heard Amish just on Erev Shabbos, two mighty Mutra of Aaron Lev, brings this idea. One, it was a wealthy man, and he said he's willing to give to yeshivas $1 million, donation of $1 million to yeshivas. However, he has a condition. What is that? Yeah, he said, only if Rav Aaron Lev Steinman engraves on the back of his watch, you know, his name. Engraves. This is from Aaron Lev Steinman. Engrave it on his watch. So he was asked to do so. The Shamish was saying, I'm going to go ask him. He's going to think I'm nuts. You know, engrave his name on a watch. I mean, he's going to say what? But he said, okay, no, I'll ask him anyways, you know. So he went up to Rav Aaron Lev and told him, listen, this guy wants to give $1 million to yeshivas, but only if you engrave your name on the back of his watch. So Rav Aaron Lev said, no. He said, why not? You know, if that's what it means to get money to yeshivas, so I'll do anything. So he says, the only one problem, because I don't know how to engrave. I don't know how to engrave. I'm sitting here, I'm not an engraver. What am I supposed to know? But, so what happened? They brought a professional in with all the tools and all the machinery, whatever, and they showed him exactly what he did, and he did it. Another maisa, I think it was a shamish again, went to center of Aaron Lev. He said, listen, there's a man who gives a lot of money to yeshivas. He gives a lot. He helps yeshivas out tremendously. And I think it would be nice if we, if maybe you wrote him wrote him something, a chizuk, whatever. So he said, okay, you know, why not? He says, no, and maybe you should write that because he's giving so much money to yeshivas, that he's going to have a big chelik in Olam Haba. So Rav Aaron Lev said, I can't write that. I mean, I give out Olam Haba. That's my job. I give Olam Haba. He does what he's supposed to do. Whatever. Hashem will help him. Whatever. Give him Olam Haba. I can't promise him Olam Haba. What do you want from me? So he goes, oh, please, Becholza, this, that. And he goes, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. Anyway, finally the Shabbos broke down and he said, okay, listen, Rebbe. It's not that I had this idea. The idea came from the guy. Okay, he wants this from you. He wants a letter from you that he's gonna, you know, have a Olam Haba. So, you know, and you know, Lamaisi, he does give a lot of money, and he's asking us. It's a favor. Can you do this? So he says again, what can I do? I give Olam Haba. I can't give Olam Haba. I'm supposed to do such a thing. So he was basically convinced him to do it. So he said, oh, okay, whatever. So then the Shomer says, one second, Rebbe. It took him the next step. He said, actually, the guy did more than that. He actually wrote the nusach on a piece of paper, and he wants you to sign it. Okay, that I, Rav Aaron Lev, signed on the bottom, is hereby giving, you know, promising Olam Haba. Da, da, da. He said, he wrote it out, and he wants you to sign this, Rebbe. Anyways, Rav Aaron Lev heard that. He's like, oh, boy, it's ridiculous. He says, you know what? You want me to... I don't understand. He said, why does he want to do that for? Why does he want me to sign this piece of paper he wrote? He says, because he said he wants to take this piece of paper and be buried with it, right? So that he has a promise from you, and he wants to take it to with himself to the kever, you know, this piece of paper. So Rav Aaron Lev says to him, listen, says, tell you what, you know, take this piece of paper, do me a favor, and I want you to photocopy it. He says, why? He says, because I want a copy. He says, why do you want a copy of this note? He says, because I also want to put this in my kever after 120 years, so I can show Jemayim all the shtiyot that I had to go through in this world. And that was the end of that. So the galus, you don't have to go out to galus. The galus always comes to our gdoli, unfortunately. Anyways, the gon went out to galus. Gon went out a few times. There's a number of stories of the gon. Once the gon went to galus, and he again undercover, nobody knew who he was, and he was acting. He went to some chasna. The chasna used to invite poor people, you know, the table for poor people, whatever. So he joined the thing, and okay, minding his own business. All of a sudden, there was a, I think it was a silver cup, the becher or whatever was lost. So immediately, you know, who did who did it? It's the poor people. So the grah was sitting there, and he said, "Oh, you stole the cup." So he didn't want to say no, because I'll srach lashon har. Maybe if he says no, it's not him, so they're going to think it's the other guy, and he didn't want to have the other guy, I mean, you know, nechshad suspect, so he didn't say no. Oh, so he didn't say no. Oh, you didn't say no. Oh, so for sure they knew it was him. You know, knew it was him. And, you know, so they start screaming at him, and he's taking the mizyonos. You know, good, you know, galus. That's what he wanted. He's taking the mizyonos, whatever. Anyway, so there, he happened to be sitting, you know, next to, near where the chasam was sitting, near the tish, and everybody screaming at him, and whatever. And the father of the kala gets up and also gives his piece, and he takes his foot back and he gives a big kick to his chair, and he flies out the door, which is, you know, the door is right behind her, flies out the door with his chair, boom, outside the door, the gra on the gra. Anyway, everybody starts laughing, you know. So the gra, you know, gets up and he walks in the door, and he sees that the chasen at the tish is laughing. He says, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, kiyamti mitzvahs, mesameach l'sameach et hachasen." Yes. It's also the Chaim Volozhin. Chaim Volozhin also went out in Galus once. And he went out with his wife wanted to come with him. So he says, "I can't take you with me." She says, "Why not?" He says, "You won't be able to handle it. It's too rough for you. You won't be able to handle it. You're seeing me, the vision is, I'm going to..." He goes, no, I want to come. He says, "Okay, I'll take you under one condition." "What's that?" "That you don't you dare reveal my identity, who I really am." She goes, "Don't worry, I won't reveal this." Okay, same type of thing happened like in the other story. They went to some chasna, whatever, they were missing, the something was missing, and they accused the Rav Chaim of, they know, you know, he looked like a ragu pashut ani, you know, so they accused him of it. So they were upset. He didn't agree, you know, so he didn't say anything, it was quiet, whatever, so they said, "Yeah, he did it, whatever." So they wanted to, you know, give him a little bit, to stir him up a little bit. So what did they do? They had they're dancing the chasana in a circle, and Rav Chaim was put in the middle, and as everybody walked by him, boom, they kick him, da, 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 boom, kick him, boom, everybody, as they walk by him, boom, they give him a kick. Anyway, so the women's section, you know, are saying, "Oh, it's going great, you know, a lot of action on the men's side, what's going on?" So the women, you know, are looking over the mezquita, and they're seeing this Ani, Rav Chaim, you know, sitting there and getting kicked, and everybody's going dancing around. So his wife sees this, and she starts screaming, "Ah!" So what is he? Rav Chaim sees his wife screaming, and she says, "I warned you, don't reveal anything, don't reveal anything." So when everybody hears that, he says, "Oh, for sure he took the thing." And he says, "Don't reveal it, don't reveal it." Right? And they're kicking him and thinking. Anyway, she couldn't take it anymore, so she finally, you know, broke down. She goes, "This is Rav Chaim Volozhin over here. What are you guys doing?" You know. Anyway, so they apologize and this, and he sends her home. Says, "I told you we're going to handle this, you know." Anyways, back to the main story of the night with the Gra. So the Gra was once in Galus, and he was by the certain rich person's house. So he was there a night or two, which is usually in Galus you only stay one or two nights at a place. And the next day he was saying, "Fine, I'm leaving. You know, thank you very much for your hospitality." So the Balabai said, "What, you're not going to pay me?" So the Gra said, "Pay me? I didn't know you wanted money. Of course, I'll pay you. What do you want?" He goes, no, I don't want money. I want criticism. And you've been to my house a day or two. I want you to tell me I did anything wrong. You know, halachically, is any you saw anything I did wrong? I want to be able to correct it, you know." So the Gra said, "You know, the emes is, I didn't see anything wrong. You're a house, Torah dick, mi'alafata. Only one thing bothered me. Maybe you can explain to me." "Sure, Rebbe, whatever." He says, "I notice every single morning you get up early, and you prepare a cup of coffee, and you bring it to your wife." He says, why do you do that? "Well, what's behind it?" He says, "Oh, I can explain it to you." So he says, this goes back many years. He says, "When I was a kid," he says, I was an Ilui, I was a genius. And I was a bucky and learning, whatever, at a very young age. And in those days, you know, how it used to work, you see a boy who has potential, and ready, the you know, potential in-laws, you know, are there anything, they want this boy to, you know, as a chassan. So they keep an eye on these kids, and they ready to make a shidduch when he's a little already. He's a chappah. He's wealthy people. So he says, I was one of those kids, and really I was like 10 years old, you know, and already people saw I had a future. And so I was like 12 years old, and this rich man took me. He said, you know, I want this thing. He spoke to my father. I want this boy for my daughter. And they made they actually wrote up Tanayim, the whole thing, you know, that when he, you know, grows up a little more, he's going to be. Because I was 12 years old already, you know, expert in Torah. As Rav Shalom Shvadron, you know, used to say, you know, says in the early days, he told the Meisters, once a boy, he was 14 years old, and he knew all the Shas. And so also they made a shidduch, you know, for him. And then the shidduch was broken off. So they asked the other side, what happened? He says, I found out they were lying. So what happened? He's not 14, he was 15. So he said, so why? He goes, okay, 15 for all the Shas had is no big deal. And he was 14, he knew Shas. So 15 already, no big deal. Anyway, so he said, so I was 12 years old, amazing. And my future father-in-law said, listen, I'm not letting you stay here. You're coming to stay by me. I'll give you meals, proper meals. You'll be able to be nice and strong to be able to learn well. I'm going to hire you a private teacher. And, you know, Moshe Tzari, like it should be. All right, so he went off with this guy, and he was a very, very fine man. Mamish took care of me, Mamish like his son, and teachers, and everything. Anyway, 5 years went by, and that was basically the deal. 17, I was going to get married. So what happened? Unfortunately, he went bankrupt. He lost his money. So when it came time, you know, for the wedding, he told my father, listen, I know I promised this and that, but I'm bankrupt, I lost my money. So my father says, well, what? Forget it then, you know. So he goes, no, please, just give me half a year to get organized with myself and hopefully I'll get up on my feet. My father said, nothing doing. You said, you know, you're going to give up this and this and this, put up or not, or that's it. So he couldn't put up at this time, and my father took the Tanaim, ripped it up, and said, forget it, it's over this. Okay, then it hurt me a lot because I loved this man. He was very fine, but okay. So I was back on the market now, you know. And all the hatsot came in. You know, you can imagine. He said, when I had potential to be a big Talmud Chacham, there was a lot of people came to wanted me. Now I was already a big Talmud Chacham, so then, sure enough, this very 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 wealthy man, you know, wanted me for his daughter, and they made the shidduch, and we got engaged, we got married. What happened? Just after the Sheva Brachas, I got very ill. And I contracted tzaras, leprosy. I was a leper. And it was very bad. And of course, you know, it's a terrible, terrible matzav. You can't get near me, you know, it's bad. It's smelling, my skin rotting, and it's terrible. Anyways, my father-in-law, you know, of course, you know, very wealthy man, brought the best of doctors from Vienna, and the top, top doctors in the world, professors, you know, he can afford anything. And he brought in the best doctors. But whatever they tried, couldn't do anything. So he comes in one day, and I saw something was up. I basically, you know, put two and two together what was coming. And he said, listen, you know, you're sick, and this. He goes, I know, I'm sick. Okay, you don't have to tell me that. You know, he goes, yeah, and this. Anyways, make a long story short, he said, I want you to give a get to my daughter. You know, what kind of a life is this? You know, I can't be married to a leper. And anyway, he was right. It was not fair. And I gave her a get. So here I was now no money, no roof over my head, no nothing. There I was and sick. So I was staying in there's like a hachnasas orchim, you know, for the wayfarers, you know, people stay, poor people. That's why I made my home. And I was on mechacham. I gave shiurim there, or whatever. But very sad state. One day, this group of anim. Came by. They saw me give shirim, and they came up to me because, listen, we have a proposal for you. I said, what's that? I said, listen. He says, we see you're a big Talmud Chacham giving shirim, and so why don't you come with us? We go from town to town collecting, you know. It's hard to make, you know, get collect so much. But we have a great idea. You'll come with us. We'll put up signs. Talmud Chassid, Talmud Chacham, you know, is going to give shiurim, whatever. And then, you know, and then everyone's going to have pity on you. See, Talmud Chacham, in this state or you are, whatever. And then they're going to give lots of money. And we'll split 50-50. You know, you'll take 50%, we'll take 50%. Because listen, what do you lose out of it? Nothing. We can gain, you know. I mean, we know you have, what do you have to do with the money? Nothing. But we can do with the money, so why don't you help us out? Do us a favor. Anyway, they convinced him. And he said, so he said, I agree. So they went from town to town, put up these posters, you know, Sik Talmud Chacham is coming, he's going to give a shiur, whatever. And it worked. The money was flowing in. Again, I didn't need it, but it was flowing in like crazy. And they were very happy with me. One day we came to one town, and a guy comes up to me and he says, listen, I want to propose for you a shidduch. He goes, what? He says, yeah, a shidduch with my daughter. He says, a shidduch with your daughter? He goes, well, are you crazy? Look at me. Who's going to marry me? You know, I got divorced because of this. Who's going to marry me? He says, no, you don't understand. He says, my daughter also has tzaras. She also is a leper. And, you know, being via geffen, you know, you're sick, she's sick, you know, so what? You might as well, you know, they're together, you know, why not? So I thought of it, I said, okay, you know, he's right. So we made the shidduch, and we had our little wedding, and had some cake and the schnapps, or whatever, celebrate. And that's it. So I go into the cheder yichud, my new wife, and close the door, and I sit down, all of a sudden she starts crying. And I go, well, okay, I know I'm, you know, I don't look so good, but, you know, look at you, you know, you're not any better, okay? So she goes, no, I'm not crying about that. So he says, so what are you crying about? She says, because I was just thinking about my past. I says, what do you mean? She says, do you realize that one day, years ago, I was once married to a big Talmud Chacham? She says, I was supposed to be married to a big Talmud Chacham, but the engagement was broken off. Why? Because my father went bankrupt and that. And he's like, I thought, well, wait a second. I said, was there your chassan's name, blah, 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 and which is his name, you know, and she's, yeah, how do you know that? And is your father this? And he says, and he starts, you know, saying all that. He knew, of course, everything. And he says, I don't believe it. How do you know all this? He goes, me. He says, that's you? I was engaged to you? And he says, yeah. And, you know, obviously, she saw it, and that was it. So he said, so we you know, started our life together, we moved, and we made our place over here. And no sooner that we settled over here, both of us miraculously were cured, our tzaras left us both. And Baruch Hashem, we're living happily ever after, and I have a big, you know, business, I'm doing well, and everything's fine. So to answer your question, why I bring my wife a cup of coffee every morning, he says, tell me. He says, my wife suffered years as a mitzorah, right, as a leper, just to so the Hashem could bring us back together. So what, doesn't it's not coming to her a cup of coffee in the morning? So here we see this the same idea we saw by Lot, right, that the gzeiras emes, the charisa tekeh, here's a guy. Why did the father, you know, break up the shidduch? Because money, you know, I want money. I'm not going to let my son marry this woman. What happened in the end? Hashem wanted him to marry this woman. He married this woman. With money, no money. In the end, fine. He didn't have any money. They didn't share any money. And they got together and they got married without any money. Right? Because the gzeiras emes. You can want this, you can want that. But the bottom line, what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, that's what happened. With Hashem, we have to take this as a lesson throughout our lives and realize, okay, we have to do our ishtalos, we do our thing. We have to realize that the bottom line is, whatever Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, that's what's going to happen. We have to internalize this concept. And Bezvat Hashem, we should see a lot of atzlacha in all our ways. And hopefully the gzeiras that are emes are gzeiras that will be for our atzlacha. The vias kol tzedek, v'mehira v'yamin. Amen.